right, folks, this is Rabble Rouser Rich Bergeron.
It is the Tornado Tony Penica.
And Psychic Tom Pettit. Crystal ball, learn to go.
And Tony, what's up with the tornado drinking a hurricane?
I know, amazing, isn't it?
Saw that on Facebook, I think it was. That was funny.
Yeah, I thought that would be kind of humorous.
Well,
you never know what I'll do next.
The biggest story last week is pretty much a boxing story, I suppose.
Yeah.
Manny Pacquiao supposedly losing. I don't know. A lot of controversy with the Jeff Horn fight. And, of course, it was in Jeff Horn's backyard. And one of the cards was peculiarly slanted in his favor. Nine rounds.
Yeah, 9 rounds
of oil. That's ridiculous. But he was almost stopped himself by Pacquiao in the 9th round. And there is a rematch clause, so who knows what will happen there. But just amazing upset. And, of course, Jeff Horn's being given
up. Yeah, you know, it looks like this is three weeks in a row now. Cut. 3 weeks in a row. Wow.
And so Pacquiao falls to 59-7-2. Jeff Horn goes to 17-0-1. And Jeff takes the WBO World Welterweight title. So.
I didn't get to see the whole fight. What I saw was I was at a minor league baseball game on Saturday. So we were driving home. The fight was literally about to start. So, you know, because I was seeing people on Facebook, fight's about to start. Then I saw somebody put a live feed on. So they were basically just showing Facebook Live. They were showing their own TV, basically. So I got to see about the first four rounds. And my thoughts of the first four rounds was Horn was very aggressive, but maybe not effectively aggressive. He was like a mauling type of aggressive. And, okay, now granted, we got to always give the extra points because you're in your hometown, especially when you're in your home country. And he's very popular there. So, and then also, when you're expected to do so poorly in a fight, you're a major underdog, and you're doing better than expected, sometimes you'll get rounds judged on you because you're expected to be getting whitewashed and you're competitive. So they're giving you a round even if you necessarily didn't win it just because you did better than they expected. So I got to see the first four rounds. Horn was very aggressive, albeit maybe not effective, maybe not clean, effective punching. Then I lost the feed from around 5 through 9, which was the big Pacquiao round. So when I got to my house and I turned the TV on, as soon as I walked in the door, it was the referee in the corner saying, "Show me something or I'm going to stop it." And then they're saying, "Well, this is probably a 10-8 round." And I'm like, "Oh, shit, was there a knockdown?" They're like, and then it was like almost like they heard me on cue. They're like, "Nope, there was no knockdown, but he battered him that bad." it could have been called a 10-8 round. And then, you know, I thought Horn did decent the last few rounds. And, but I definitely thought Pacquiao won two of the final three. And, you know, obviously I hear the announcers, you know, Pacquiao, 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 Pacquiao. And then I heard the first judge, 117-111. And I was like, okay, that's gotta be Pacquiao.
Wrong.
If they would have said 115-113, if say all judges had a 115-113, I would have been like, ooh, I bet you they're going to give it to the other kid. But when the first judge said 117-111, I'm like, oh, Pacquiao's got this. And then they announced it for Horn, and Teddy Atlas like banged the table like,
yeah.
No! And he was, I thought he was going to have a heart attack.
Jeez, I thought he was going to have an aneurysm. I saw that part of it. And actually, I have the fucking article right here, believe it or not. He went off, and actually, in the fight, post-fight interview was most impressive because he literally walked right up to Horn, and, you know, the other guy went first, and then you could tell he'd be waiting to pounce on him. And he basically goes, "Congratulations, great effort. I thought you lost, but great effort." That was the first thing he said to him. "I thought you lost, but great effort." And
said, "Hey, Teddy, everyone has a different opinion, but I had Pac-Man winning by 2 rounds. I made it a little closer than Teddy. Teddy was all through the fight. Boy, it was just he was seeing one guy and one guy only. So,
yeah, and that where he pounded the table, his whole rant as follows. It's a quote directly in this article on CBS Sports. He says, "They give everybody a trophy. That's what they did tonight. They gave a trophy, a win, a huge win to Horn, the local kid, for trying hard. You're not supposed to get it for trying hard. You're supposed to get it for winning. And I thought Pacquiao won the fight if you go by the real rules, the Marcus of Queensbury rules, who lands the cleaner punches." So, yeah, I actually will post the link in the blog to this broadcast, because it's just, you have to listen to him say that stuff. It's just, it gets so wound up, and then the interview, the audio is just priceless, where he's interviewing him and he's got the cut eye there and the belt.
Yeah, and then you remember he's yelling, "This sport is corrupt. Yeah. This sport is corrupt." Well, like, you know, Teddy, are you new at this? Okay, yeah. This is not the first time that's happened.
And my favorite part of when he's interviewing Jeff Horn is they have Manny Pacquiao off to the side with his red towel on there. And Teddy says, "I thought this guy landed the better punches," and Pacquiao gives him a little smile. Like, "Yeah, I did. Thanks, Teddy. I wouldn't say that myself, but good on you." It was funny. And you got Timothy Bradley there, mean mugging Pacquiao the whole time.
You know what? Having Bradley on there kind of, was ironic. Because he's not going to want to say anything bad about the decision because of the decision he got to on their first fight.
Right.
I always think it's funny because I went to their second fight and people ask me, "Hey, what did you think of the second fight?" I'm like, "Oh, the second fight was good." I said, "Bradley was more competitive in the second fight and he lost."
No, I agree.
The second fight, and he lost cleanly.
Yep. We also had some other fights last weekend. We're talking about, let's see, the 30th of June. Jesus lost in the Jesus Fight of the Week up there in Ontario. Phil LaGreco, former guest of ours, actually, I believe. We interviewed him years ago. Couple years maybe now. He's 28-3 now. Jesus Garola falls to 24-12-3. That was a majority decision win there in Ontario, Canada, on the 30th. And I believe we had a couple more mentioned that day. So let's see if we can find we had down in Atlantic City, New Jersey, there was a featherweight fight, and a couple undefeated guys going in for the vacant WBA Fed-A-Latin featherweight title. And it was Luis Lebron who came away with the win. He only came in at 8-0-1, close to 9-0 now, fighting Manuel Body, who was coming in at 23-0-1. And Lebron won by unanimous decision there. And then the new Ray Robinson, welterweight, 23-2 with his record going in. He improves to 24-2 with a win over Bradis Prescott, who falls to 30-11. That was down in Atlantic City on the 30th. And then, of course, one of the big fights of the week in Toledo, Ohio, Tom's home state. Robert Easter Jr. fighting Denis Shafikov, and that was for the IBF World Lightweight title. Easter Jr. won the fight, improves to 20-0 over Shafikov, who falls to 38-3-1. That was a unanimous decision win for Easter Jr. We also had Joshua Conley falling to 14-2-1 with a TKO by Julian Williams, who goes to 23-1-1. Can't see any of those fights either. A couple other undefeated guys. Jermonte Clark took home the win in a super welterweight contest between Ivan Golub, who was 13-0 going in, and Jermonte was 11-0. That was a unanimous decision win for Jermonte too. And then another one for Enver Halili, who was 10-0 over Wesley Tucker, who falls to 14-1. That was in Toledo, Ohio. That's it for that day. And then we had some fights on the first. Busy fight week for boxing last week. Diego De La Hoya stayed undefeated over Alan Isaias Lucas Castillo, who came in at 21-6. He falls to 21-7. Diego moves up to 19-0 now. And he fought down in Argentina. Pretty crazy.
He agreed to a 4-year deal to stay on Wednesday. It's worth $52 million if he meets all incentives within the contract, according
and
to the
Associated Press. And we might have had the...
Miami moved quickly to keep Wader Depp from
his head. We're going
to
call it the mismatch of the week, or the upset of the week.
Who is joining the boss himself.
In Jinan, China, we had Richard Garcia coming in at featherweight, 26-23-1. And fought a guy named Shai Il-Anbieke, Kdir-Bieke. Guy was coming in at 0-0-2. Who do you guys think won that fight? The 26-23 guy? No, the 0-0-2 guy got his first win.
I'm sure there was, like, much surprise the outcome.
The other records on the card were ridiculous. There was one 7-0 guy fighting an 0-1 guy, and everybody else was 0-0, debut. This is crazy. But down in the Dominican Republic, we had a more competitive fight. Vacant WBA Fed a Latin flyweight title on the line between Charlie Hoy and Rafael Rodriguez. Charlie Hoy comes in 12-0, Rodriguez 11-0. And Hoy moves to 13-0 with a TKO. So they have it there, and that was the only fight on the card that they listed it. We had the interim WBA World Super Welterweight title on the line between Brian Carlos Castano, 13-0, and Michael Soro, 30 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw. And it was a split decision win for Castano, who goes to 14-0. Soro takes his second loss. That was in France. That's a big, big fight in France. We also had a big sort of upset here at light heavyweight in Germany for Dominic Bosel, 24-0 going in against Caro Murat, who had 3 losses to go with 30 wins and 1 draw. And Murat TKO'd him. Got the vacant EBU European light heavyweight title for his trouble. Sucks in Germany. Down in Durango, Mexico, we had Roberto Ortiz coming in at 35-1-1. Fought to a draw with Diego Cruz, who came in at 17-5. Also, Lourdes Juarez at light flyweight there got a win over Anahi Torres. Lourdes improves to 20-2. Torres falls to even 500, 16-16 with 1 draw. And then we had Luis Emmanuel Consolido, 24-2, going against Victor Proa for the vacant WBC Latino Super Bantamweight title. Proa came in at 28-2-2 and got knocked out by Consolido. Bruce, 25-2. Knocked out in Mexico. Let's see what else. We had Alexander Povetkin getting another win. Proves to 32-1 in Moscow, Russia, over Andriy Rudenko, who came in at 31-2. Povetkin got the unanimous decision win there. That fight was for the WBO and WBA International and Continental Heavyweight titles, respectively, there. Then super lightweights on that card. Edward Troyanovsky, 25-1 going in against Michelle DeRocco, who was 41-2-1 going in. And he got knocked the hell out by Troyanovsky. Goes to 26-1. Knocked out. And here was a big surprise, if you looked at it on paper. Sergey Lubkovich came in at 5-0 and took on Gabor Gorbix, who was 23-6, and Gorbix got TKO'd. And I don't know what round exactly, but that was a good card over there in Moscow. Let's see what else. We had some fights over in the United Kingdom. That's kind of funny, sort of. Frank Buglioni at light heavyweight, 19-2-1, beat Ricky Summers, came in at 13-0 by unanimous decision, so Buglioni gets his 20th win. That was for the BBB of C British light heavyweight title. Also had super welterweights Matthew Ryan, 14-1, who falls to 14-2 because he lost to a guy named Ted Cheeseman, who was 8-0. And lost by Ted Cheeseman's TKO for the BBB of C English super welterweight title. And then Reese Bellotti at featherweight proved to 10-0 over Jamie Spate, falls to 15-12. And that was for the vacant WBC International silver featherweight title. That was a TKO win for Bellotti. This is all from July 1st, by the way, last week. And Lee Appleyard took Steve Brogan to the Appleyard with a TKO in the United Kingdom as well. That's a lightweight. Lee Appleyard improves to 11-3. Brogan was undefeated, 10-0-2 going in, so he gets his first loss. That was for the vacant BBB of C English lightweight title. And here's a great name for a fighter, Josh Whale, W-A-L-E. 23-9-2 at bantamweight, beat Jamie Wilson, who was 10-1 by unanimous decision. And that was pretty much it for that card. Some good stuff. All right, so that was last week, pretty much. Headphones. All right, Friday in Tampa, Florida, tomorrow night. A couple undefeated guys going at it on USA Telemundo. Sammy Valentin, 12-0, fighting Giovanni Santillan, who is 21-0. That was for the WBO NABO welterweight title. Big fight there. Fights coming up this weekend. So we got a Jesus fight of the week. There's one in New South Wales, Australia. Sakio Bika, coming in at 32-7-3, fighting Luke Sharp, another good name for a fighter. Sharp is 14-5-3. Saki Obika, 32-7-3. This is for the vacant WBC Asian Boxing Council Continental Super Middleweight title. No, I will not say that 10 times. It's the only big one on that card. It is the over in Munich. We got Munich, Germany, super middleweights Shafat Issoufi, 23-3-2, fighting David Zagara, 31-1. That one is for the vacant WBO Intercontinental super middleweight title. And this has to be the absolute mismatch of the week. I don't think we can find a better one. Heavyweights, Gonzalo Omar Basil, coming in at 69-12, fighting a guy named Pavel Siska. Pavel coming in at 6 wins, 45 losses, and 1 draw.
Where do they find him?
Pavel. Pavel is going to be an anvil for Gonzalo's hammer. another one in Germany, Ramona Kuhn, in a female fight headlining. She is 25-1 fighting Jamila Gunteruk, who is 13-3-1 for the WBO World Female Super Featherweight title. And then co-main event is super middleweights Leon Bauer, 11-0, fighting Abdallah Pazawapazi, who is 17-5. Then we got Archer Mann at cruiserweight, 10-0, fighting Leon Harth, who is 15-2. That's for the Bauer versus Pazzi fight is the IBF Youth Superweight middleweight title, by the way, on the line there. Then the vacant WBO International Cruiserweight title is the Man versus Harth fight. And we got another female fight at lightweight, Nicole Wesner, 12-0, fighting Hasna Tukic, who is 9-6, for the World Boxing Federation female lightweight title, the Global Boxing Union female world lightweight title, and the Women's International Boxing Association world lightweight title. There you have it. Another one in Germany. A lot of fights in Germany this week. Light heavyweight Howick Bebraham, 9-0, fighting Christian Ruben Mino, who is 19-0 for the vacant IBO International lightweight title. And Francesco Pianetta at heavyweight, he is 33-2-1, fighting Ozkan Setenkaya, who is 26-11-2, for the vacant IBO International heavyweight title. Big stuff going on in Germany. That's it. We're sending the whole crew. Pack your bags, guys.
Okay.
Going to Germany. WBC World Female Bantamweight title on the line Saturday in Jalisco, Mexico. Mariana Juarez, 45-9-4 as a female. That's a hell of a record. Fighting Terumi Nuki, who has just 9 wins and 1 loss. So I'm assuming Juarez has the title and is fighting in her home area. As with a name like Juarez, you'd think. The co-main event there is a super bantamweight fight. Aaron Alameda, 19-0, fighting Enrique Bernach, who is 23-9. Saturday. And we got Mark Magseo in the Philippines on Saturday. He's 16-0, fighting Daniel Diaz, who's 23-7-2 for the WBO International featherweight title. Super bantamweights in the co-main event, Gio Santisima, 13-2, fighting, this is a good name for a fighter, Good Luck Marema, who is 16-0. That's a great name. Hey, Good Luck. What? That's my name. Puerto Rico, Jason Velez, 24-4-1, fighting Giovanni Caro, 27-21-4 for the WBC Fikerbox super featherweight title. We get a couple featherweights undefeated in the co-main event for the WBA Fedicaribe featherweight title. Felix Caraballo, 7-0-2, fighting Edgardo Laboy, who is 12-0-1. We got WBO Oriental cruiserweight title up for grabs in Ekaterinburg, Russia on Saturday. Yuri Kashinsky, 12-0, fighting Gabor Halas, who is 38-17. Heck of a fight there. rest of it, I'm assuming. Alright, some more fights in the United Kingdom. A couple undefeated guys, Josh Taylor at super lightweight, 9-0, fighting O'Hara Davies, 15-0, from Glasgow, Scotland on Saturday. Co-main event there is super lightweight's Jason Easton, 9-0, fighting Steve Jamoy, who's 22-3-1. Then we got in London, welterweight's Gary Corcoran, 16-1, fighting Larry Ikondayo, who is 12-0. Welterweight's in the co-main event, Bradley Skeet, 26-1, fighting Dale Evans, 13-3-2. Fight Ekaterinburg, Russia on Sunday. Dmitry Mikhailenko, 22-1, fighting Quadratillo Abdu Quaxorov. Tough one. That's Mikhailenko is 22-1, and Quadratillo is 11-0. Also, Denis Lebedev at cruiserweight, 29-2, fighting Mark Flanagan, 22-4. Mikhailenko fight is for the WBC silver welterweight title, and the Lebedev fight is for the WBA world super world cruiserweight title. Yikes. Alright, so that's Sunday. Here's one for Monday, over in Tokyo, Japan. Tomoki Kameda at featherweight, 33-2, fighting Ivan Morales, who is 31-2. No title on the line there, but that's in Korakuen Hall in Tokyo on Monday. Let's see. So that's about it. Till next Thursday. For boxing. We did have some mixed martial arts over the weekend to talk about, though very little. Herman Torrado and Joe Zeffirino. Also, John Fitch beating Brian Foster. Herman Torrado got a split decision win over Zeffirino. Torrado improves to 16-3-1. Zeffirino 21-10. John Fitch. His record is not up here, but he beat Brian Foster. He had a little bit of trouble in the early going, but he won by rear naked choke in the second round, 3 minutes and 12 seconds in. He also had Jason High beating Carlos Fodor by unanimous decision, and Ronnie Marks beating Smilino Rama by unanimous decision. And this was kind of a special situation because they postponed the races at the International Speedway because of rain, I believe. Weather. So this was supposed to be after the fights, and then after the races, and then instead it was instead of the races that day, because they shifted to the next day. So I don't know if that worked out well for them or not, but this was second time that they had fights and races on the same day, or were supposed to be on the same day, and we'll have to see how it works, but this is the Professional Fighters League first event, too. And they're set to kind of shake up the scene because they're fighting, they're paying these guys monthly rather than per fight. They're giving them a monthly stipend to be part of the organization. So, and that's a lot of the guys behind World Series of Fighting and some other investors. We'll have to see what happens with that. We got some big UFC fights coming up. Of course, the Ultimate Fighter Season 25 finale. Our boy, the guy that we interviewed, James Krause, did not do so well last night on the last episode. Got beat up by Jesse Taylor, who will now face Diego Lima in the big season 25 finale main event. Although there is going to be a professional main event as well. Michael Johnson versus Justin Gaethje. Michael comes in at 17-11, Gaethje 17-0, but for the Ultimate Fighter guys. It's Jesse Taylor getting his full redemption chance. Season called Redemption, and he was the one guy who was pretty much unbelievable to see him get this kind of a chance after what he did to get thrown out and, you know, on the precipice of getting into the situation. He messed it up last time. So now he gets his ultimate redemption against the guy, Diego Lima, who is redeeming himself from another season, fighting a lot better than ever. It seems to show a lot of improvement there, too, against his opponent last week. So.
Well, he's going to have his hands full. Jesse just is one of those guys, you know what he's going to do, but he's hard to stop. Just that physicality. I mean, he doesn't look like he's a welterweight.
Oh, yeah, he's all muscle. All muscle, and he knows how to use that wrestling to his advantage and wear people out, and he obviously can do enough striking to do damage, too, which he showed against Kraus. So. Diego's going to have to be on top of his game, but I say this is going to be one of the best finale fights ever. Ever. I say it. We also have Mark Diachiese, 12-0, fighting Drakkar Close, who's 7-0-1. Jared Cannonier, 9-2, fighting Nick Rurik, who is 7-0. Elias Theodoro, 13-1, fighting Brad Tavares, 14-4. Marcel Fortuna, 9-1, fighting Jordan Johnson, 7-0. Angela Hill from another Ultimate Fighter season. She is 6-3, fighting Ashley Yoder, who's 5-2. And James Krause will fight Tom Galicchio in this, basically, what is the loser's bracket here of the finals. Because both of these guys lost to the semifinal in the semifinals, so they're going to fight each other. And Krause, 23-7, Galicchio, 19-9. Then we got Ed Herman versus CB Dolloway. Ed comes in at 23-12. CB comes in at 15-8. We got Jessica I, 11-6, fighting Aspen Ladd, 5-0. And Gray Maynard coming back in the second fight of the night, 12-6-1, fighting Taruto Ishihara, who is 9-3-2. And the first fight of the night will be a female one, Juliana Lima. 9-3, fighting the Tiny Tornado, Tisha Torres, who is 8-1. No relation to Tony. Anyway, UFC 213 also this weekend. That's July 8th. Amanda Nunes versus Valentina Shevchenko in the main event there. Speaking of female fights. Both of them have 14 wins. Nunes has 4 losses. Shevchenko has 2. We also have Robert Whittaker facing Yoel Romero in what is an interim title fight, I believe, due to the Bisping situation with GSP, whether he's coming back or not. Who knows? But Whittaker versus Romero here is a big, big fight. Whittaker is 18-4. Romero is 12-1. Both of these guys are aiming for the title and on a tear, so let's see how that one goes. Curtis Blades in the 10th fight of the night, 7-1, fighting Daniel Omelanchuk, who is 19-7-1. You got a couple legends in action against each other. Fabricio Verdun versus Alistair Overeem. Fabricio comes in at 21-6-1, Alistair 42-15. And Anthony Pettis versus Jim Miller, another veteran fight. Not quite as grizzled veterans as the other two. Anthony coming in at 19-6, Jim Miller coming in at 28-9. Then we got old Travis Brown trying to stay on at the UFC. Even though we don't think his girlfriend Ronda Rousey is going to be back anytime soon. Travis is still hanging in there. He's in the 7th fight of the night, 18-6-1, fighting Alexei Olenek, who is 51-10-1. Well, that's an MMA right now. We also got Chad LaPrize, 11-2, fighting Brian Camozzi, who is 7-3. Gerald Mearshart, who is 26-8, fighting Tiago Santos, 14-5. Jordan Main, 29-11, fighting Bilal Muhammad, who's 11-2. Rob Font, 13-2, fighting Douglas Silva de Andrade, who's 24-1. Then we got Terry and Ware, 17-5, fighting Cody Stammen, who's 13-1 in the second fight of the night. In the first fight of the night, Trevin Giles, 9-0, fighting James Bochnovic, who is 8-1. Whew, it's a tough one. Interesting story here. Paul Daly and Michael Page is now being planned in Bellator for early 2018. And these two got at it at an event, and have been just destroying each other on social media as well. Paul Daly and Michael Page. After Paul Daly lost to McDonald there, Rory McDonald, Daly called him out. And
McDonald. Yeah.
Daly called out Page in the aftermath of that, and they got into a heated scuffle down at Rory McDonald. What did I say? Did I say McDonald? I didn't say McDonald. Sorry. Anyway, yep. So Page said afterward that he'd lost all respect for Daly due to the incident. And so apparently this is the crazy part. MVP, Michael Page, while he's waiting for this fight with Daly, is going to go into boxing to keep his skills sharp. So he had a choice of doing kickboxing or boxing, and he said he prefers boxing. He wants to get a couple fights in, probably to get ready for Paul. Paul's got some good hands, so he said go ahead and do that, just like we did a deal with boxing promoter Lou DiBella to promote some of his boxers in MMA. So it's exactly the opposite. It's like we're kind of lending out MVP to go box. And then I told him, I said, MVP, if you want to come kickbox or fight MMA before the end of the year after your boxing, you're more than welcome to. Or if you want to take a couple boxing fights, go ahead and just get ready for this fight at the beginning of next year. This is what Coker said. Scott Coker, by the way. So he gave him the opportunity, which, I mean, look how long it took Dana White to do that for the big fight with Mayweather. Coker has been doing that for a while. But, I mean, that's the one thing, the big difference I think that's going to move a lot of UFC fighters over to Bellator is that freedom to say, all right, well, I'm jammed up in fight contract situations. I can't do anything for 6 months. I can go over now and do some boxing or kickboxing. And in Bellator's case, the kickboxing can be for the same organization, you know, under a different banner that they have. So, it's good stuff. Here's an interesting one on the MMAFA, the Mixed Martial Arts Fighters Association. We've heard a lot about mixed martial arts unions and, you know, some of the controversy. She, Leslie Smith, is now saying she's been kicked out of the MMAFA because she asked former basketball star Kobe Bryant about unions at the UFC athlete retreat last month. This is kind of an interesting story. Of course, she's one of the people who's not really, you know, celebrating the effectiveness of this big summit for fighters. You know, there's a lot of complaints about how they handle that, the UFC. But she said, I definitely think that we should get paid more, and that's going to make the biggest improvements. But when I say paid more, I'm not talking about an extra $5,000 a person. I think UFC fighters, especially the ones who've had 6 to 15 more appearances, should be millionaires at this point. And, you know, she talked about the gym, the UFC Performance Institute. She said it's a step in the right direction, but it can't stop there. And then a lot of the roster doesn't live in Las Vegas where that thing is, so a lot of them can't take advantage of that. She did ask Kobe Bryant, one of the event's public speakers, his thoughts on union. As an ex-NBA player, Bryant supported the idea of a union, and many fighters supported Smith for having the courage to touch on that topic, but it obviously came at a cost, and she was booted off the team, basically. The MMAFA claims to focus on adding the Ali Act to mixed martial arts and restoring true competition in the UFC, but it is against creating a union. But Smith is obviously not against that. She said, they kicked me out of their discussion group and said that what I'm thinking and looking at is no longer in line. Somebody from that group, Carlos Newton, heard what I was saying about Kobe Bryant and wanting a union and started talking in the group about how I'm manipulative and said some other highly critical things. She said, instead of lashing out, I just pointed out that inside a group where they're trying to inform other people, being dismissive and putting down other people who have different perspectives isn't going to encourage anybody else to share different perspectives or ask questions. And I was kicked out shortly afterwards. And to make a long story short, she does not plan on joining one of the other two associations, the PFA or the MMAAA. And she just doesn't like either one. Future of both of those groups is also unclear. So she says, I'm not pledging my allegiance to anyone. The only other people out there that would be an option anyway is the MMAAA, and I talked to Bjorn Rebney a while ago. First off, fighters don't trust Bjorn. I don't know him personally, but everybody who has had personal interactions with him say no good. That's a pretty big stop in the first place, and he's not a fighter, so why is he trying to get involved in the fighters' rights? Because he cares about fighters' rights, someone might say. And why didn't he step up and get health insurance and any of the things he's saying are so important for fighters when he was actually in a position to do so as Bellator MMA president? So I'm not too sold on Bjorn being part of anything. Anyway, she was told that the board of the MMAAA are there because they stood up at the right time and that it is not anything that's going to change, that there is no way I can become a member of that board, that they're not interested in making the board more representative of other fighters, females, and people not at the top. So, she says, when we have champions who don't realize that everything they're talking about is not just about them, that it's about how fighters are treated in the UFC and that a UFC fighter union is going to deal with that, she said, we clearly still need to educate. Go Leslie Smith. She's going to start the female fighters union. Watch. That's going to be the next one. All right. So that's pretty much it for big news and events. Unless you guys got anything else?
A little bit off the boxing and mixed martial arts topic, but a little bit about combat sports. Not as much of a sport, but you know, we sometimes like to talk on our show about different things and different experiences that we have, and one thing I'd like to, you know, bring up real quick is a quick anti-bullying message. And it actually could have been serious, but it turned out a little bit funny. Last week, the night of the Pacquiao fight, you know, as I said, we were up in Allentown, Pennsylvania at a couple baseball games, so we didn't get home until pretty late. Stayed up, watched the fight. So the next day, you know, we're all kind of tired, and our friend had dropped their dog over. So my dad wanted to take the dog to this little park area we'd go to sometimes. Asked if I wanted to go. I was like, no, I'm sitting home. I'm taking a nap real quick. So my dad goes. He goes there every day. He has friends there. So he calls me up about 20 minutes later. I'm awake now. And he goes, oh, hey, well, are you going to stop over? I said, yeah, what's up? He goes, I'll tell you when you get here. So I'm thinking it's maybe a friend I haven't seen because we all know each other so well. So I get there, and now the dog that we were watching is a very nice golden retriever, 3 years old, and very friendly, doesn't listen all that well. You know, well, neither did Vinny, but that's beside the point. So my dad, the one guy sitting there, and this other guy looks like some California hippie, is standing behind the one truck, and he's pumping up one of them big, like raft-looking canoe things. And my dad says to the guy sitting down, at least the dog, are you happy now? And the guy said something to him, and I'm like, so now my laughing, jovial nature went to, you know, pretty serious. And I said to my dad, I said, what's up? He goes, oh, these two guys got a problem. I'll say the guy sitting down was probably in his 40s. The California hippie looking down was probably in his late 20s, early 30s. And the hippie guy was really running his mouth and F this and F that. And there were little kids there. And they were drinking at the park, which is illegal. So now my dad's like, the reason I called you, meaning me, he goes, you know, I don't want these guys thinking they're running me out of here.
He goes, but it was 2-1. Now, my dad was armed, but no reason, you know, to have to pull something out unless necessary. So he just called in the reinforcements. So the laughing, jovial nature then went to a very angry nature. So I kind of said, no, well, who, these two assholes, you know? And I know they could hear me, which that was my point. So my dad was like, listen, we proved our point. We'll come back later when, you know, when the dogs are here. You know, my dad went early before everybody else shipped up. He goes, we'll come back later. It's only 5 minutes away. But I wanted these guys to see that they weren't running me out of here. And that they thought they were big and bad when it was 2-1. Now, what are they going to do when it's 2-2? So my dad's like, but listen, you have to leave first. Because he goes, the last I want is for me to be pulling that way in the truck and looking in the rearview mirror and you're clocking somebody. So he goes, you know, I get my, yeah, as I'm getting in my, my escape, he goes to the one guy sitting down. He goes, listen, he goes, it was two of you, it was one of me. He goes, you guys are running your mouths. He goes, but I wanted to show you that, you know, I got backup. And my son here would fuck your friend up in a matter of seconds. The guy's like, hey, man, we don't got no problem. He's like, you don't have a problem now. Oh, man, he goes, my son would kick that shit out of that guy in 2 seconds. Oh, no, he's a really cool guy. He's like, no, he's an asshole. He's cursing out in front of kids, throwing a big shit fit, you know. So then we leave. We come back like an hour later. Our friends are there. We're sitting down maybe about 100, 200 yards away. We had a good time. And then we were leaving. My dad's like, instead of doing a three-point turn to leave the park, he goes, let's just loop around. And we looped around, and that guy that was so big and bad earlier had his head down looking the other way, you know, like a coward. Because you tried to bully, and you got out-bullied. And the point of it is, like, you know, you're looking at a guy that's almost 70 years old. Okay, yeah, you can try to act all big and bad, but first of all, you didn't know what he had in his pocket, which... that's a completely other story. So if you jump him, he's in the right to defend himself. But the second part is, you don't know who he's also got one phone call away.
Well then, running the A-team, huh?
Yeah, years ago, you know, and both of you guys met my dad. You know, he's a cool, funny guy, you know, a lot of good stories, a lot of people like him, he's a real charismatic guy. A couple years ago, before he retired, and I'm going back about maybe a good 10 years ago, he was with one electrical company, and he had got injured with them 20 years ago. He didn't want to get, the union put him with this company, he didn't want to go with them, and then he got injured on the job, so it's like, then the union couldn't put him somewhere else, because they were stuck with each other, and he was, you know, he had a couple shoulder surgeries, and, you know, it was to the point where there was a lot of back and forth, you know, arguing, but you couldn't really do a lawsuit, but there was a lot of problems going back and forth. And it's funny because the guy whose dog we were watching, that's where my dad originally met him, with the same company. But word had gotten back to my dad that a couple of the guys that were, you know, I don't want to say senior guys, but the guys that had been with that electrical outfit for a long time, were talking about, you know, roughing them up a little bit. My dad was in his, you know, maybe mid to late 50s at that time. They were going to, you know, talking about roughing them up and this and that. And one of them, who then reported this back to my dad, kind of said to him, like, yo, guys, I don't think you want to do that. Because you start with senior, you're going to get junior, too. So, you might go after the old man, but you're going to get the kid with him. And that's when I was in my late 20s, you know, and a little bit more ornery than I am now. I'm a little bit more mellow now. But, and the guy that had told my dad this, to kind of stooge his coworkers off, he said, like, when those words came out, it's like you just saw a bunch of, you know, smug, arrogant faces, like, yeah, we'll bust him up, we'll smack him around, go from, oh, shit, you're right. Reminds me, you guys familiar with that movie, A Bronx Tale?
Oh, yeah. Good movie.
Love that movie. I got to see Chaz Palminteri do the one-man adaptation of it a couple years ago, the guy that played Sonny. because that's his true life story. He was actually the kid C. And my friend's wife made a great point. She goes, when you watch A Bronx Tale and then you go to see his one-man show, when you're looking at him on the stage, you see Sonny. He's Sonny. But in truth, he's really C. He's telling C's story because that's who he really is. But the one story that he told from the movie was when they were in the bar and the bikers came in there and they were, running amok and running their mouths and spraying beer all over the place. And he goes, you guys are going to have to leave. And they're like, we'll leave whenever the fuck we want. And he goes, lock the door. He goes, nice, you can't leave. And he goes, and that moment, the blood drew out of their faces. He goes, because they were used to running roughshod, and now someone was going to, bring it right back on them.
Speaking of golden retrievers, I'm going to have to send you a picture of my July 4th experience with Bronson at
a
little beach in Maine. We got him to wear the sunglasses. He was squinting in the sun, and they were trying to take pictures of him. So,
nice.
So I put the sunglasses on him. And for a good minute or so, he left them on because it was, right in the middle of his eyes. And he's looking up at the sun, and it was like, oh my God, that's fucking so funny. He liked them for a second, and then he wouldn't let me put them back on him after that. But oh, it's hilarious. They got some really good pictures of him. And he had never been to the ocean, so the funny part was he kept trying to drink the ocean water. He's used to swimming in pond water, so he could drink it. And kept trying to get mouthfuls of ocean water, and then he was smart enough to go up into the straw area of the beach to puke. He didn't puke on the sand or anything, or in a kid's sandcastle. He puked on the straw, and he seemed to have a great time. He swam a bunch of times. He's not 12 years old. Alright, well, Tom, you got anything else to add? You got any psychic revelations?
Well, just looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, well, I'm off tomorrow. I had a whole 2-day work week, was off. My company was closed Monday, closed Tuesday, worked yesterday and today, and then I'm off tomorrow.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm having a little trouble getting back into full work mode after my little vacation to Maine, 4th of July. My girlfriend's kid just totally blew out his knee playing basketball with his buddies just that night, so got to deal with that action. To watch him get put into the freaking ambulance. And it looks like an LCL is torn, among possible other things.
Not fun.
Yeah, he's not liking it. Not liking it at all. Anyway, till next week, folks.
All right, guys.
All right, we'll go.